In today's Mishnah, we're in the third and fourth Mishnah in the ninth parak of Masechta Bava Batra. The Mishnah begins, Hiniach banim gdolim muktanim. If we have a situation with an estate where there are some older adult children and some young children, we say, Hishpiach gdolim etan nachasim. If the older children took the initiative and they started improving the estate, we say, Hishpichu leemtza. The increase in profits, this is prior to the estate being actually divided, is enjoyed by everybody. The Gemara importantly explains this is referring to a case where the Gedolim, meaning the adults that took the initiative to try and improve the estate, for example, Gedi, if we're talking about land, they actually hired other workers to do the ploughing and the planting, etc., etc.
However, it's critically important to add that they actually funded these improvements using the money from the estate itself. Nonetheless, despite the fact that they took the initiative to do so, the improvements would be shared by all the heirs.
Why? That is because we say since there wasn't much effort on their part to contract these individuals, we can say they were mochel. They were sort of forwent their efforts, and therefore that's why everyone can share evenly. However, if they themselves, the adult children, put in the effort and ploughed and planted, then we say that the improvements in that situation, they would have not have forgone, and therefore they would have enjoyed the improvements. However, im amru, if the gdolim, these older children, they came before Beit Din, or in front of witnesses, and said, Re'u ma she'niach lanu abba, see what Father has given us. Hare anu osim bo'ochlim, we want to now improve it, work on this estate, and then enjoy the profits ourselves. Then Mishnah says, Heshivichu la'atzman, that if they were given the go-ahead to do this, then they can indeed enjoy the increase in value. And that is because the fact that they came before Beit Din and Beit Din didn't object, it must be the Beit Din sure that by letting them go ahead and engage in this in the property in this manner, the other heirs were also going to benefit from it. The Mishnah then continues, so we bring a parallel case with a wife who improved the nechasim, the property of her husband after he passed away. So we have to work out what case this is referring to, because we've said previously, in the beginning of the previous parak, that the wife doesn't inherit from the husband. So the case here is where she married her uncle, and both her father and her uncle, which were brothers, passed away. And in this situation, her and her sisters would be sharing the estate. So it's important that this wife is another one of the beneficiaries. So that's why we have a situation here where the wife, much like the older brothers, she goes ahead and starts improving the value of the estate. Now, because they're on the beneficiaries, we say, Hishpich le'emtza, the improvement is shared between them. However, Im Amra, once again, if she came in front of Beit Din witnesses and says, Re'u, see ma she'niach li ba'ali, see what my husband left me, Hare ani osev o'chelad, I'm going to take the initiative and put efforts in improving it, but I'm going to enjoy the profits on my own. Mishnah says, Hishpicha la'atzma, that she enjoys it herself for the same reasons we said in the first case. Let's now learn Mishnah Dalet. Ha'achin ha'shutafim. So here referring to the brothers that are being supported from the estate. Shanafa lechad mehem la'umanut. That one of the brothers has been earmarked and taken aside for a government position. And that position is quite lucrative and is going to generate a lot of money. The question is, does it go only to him? So the Mishnah says, Nafala emtza, that all the brothers would enjoy from his position. So what are we talking about in this case? The case is that he was only nominated this, say, government position because of him being from the family of his father passed away, and not because of his own talents. It's sort of one of these propositions. I'm not sure if there's a comparable case, maybe like the Lords we have in England or something like that, where it's almost like a Yerusha, you got this appointment. So that's why, since they haven't divided, and it's almost like a benefit of the estate, that's why they all share it equally. However, if he only got this position completely disconnected, in other words, they looked at his CV and they saw that he was quite a talented individual, then it's really of his own account, not because of the family he was part of, and then he would enjoy the benefits of his salary on his own. Mishnah says, Chala v'nitrape. If he became ill and had significant medical expenses, we say nitrape, that one of the brothers here, he'd nitrape mishol, he'd have to find his own refuah. Now, importantly here, the Gemara explained this is where he was negligent with the way he carried himself and got ill as a result of his behavior, and not because of onus, because if it got unwell for reasons beyond his control, in that case, you'd be able to draw down from the estate. Mishnah continues, Ha'achin sha'asu miktzatan shushvinot bechayei ha'av. So shushvinot, the concept of the minhag of shushvinot in the times of the Mishnah was as follows. When people would get married, the people in the community would send gifts. Now, the point of the gifts was actually to help with expenses of the meal. Now, it wasn't actually a gift, it was more like a loan. It was a way of spreading the expenses of the meals around the community. So when one person got married, they'd all chip in, and the next person got married in the community, they'd all chip in for that marriage as well. And the shush vinim is actually more like a loan, meaning if one person contributed to one wedding and he had a child that got married, he could actually go to Beit Din to extract the funds owed to him. It's sort of like a loan. That was the way they spread the expenses. So Mishnah says, in a situation where there are few, during the lifetime of the father supported a few marriages when he sent this shush vinim, and he was expecting it to be returned to some of his sons, we say chazra shush vinot, when they actually get these presents back, as I said, it was sort of like a loan, chazra la emtza, then it would be returned to the estate and it would be shared amongst the brothers. Why? Shashush binot nigbet bebeitin, because these aren't personal gifts that are given to the individuals. We say these are effectively like loans. So when the shush binot were returned, it was like the repayment of a loan. What's interesting here, the Gemara cites a braita that the father sent this shush binot, these sort of loan type of gifts. He didn't send it earmarking any particular son. He said to the individual, I'm giving you these gifts, and then one of my children get married. That's why it would chazra, that's why when it's paid back, would go back to la'emtza, all the brothers would share it. However, if he said, I'm giving you the shushinot, and when this particular son gets married, then it's different, because then it will go to that particular son, it wouldn't be shared by the estate. The Mish continues, however, aval ha'shalech l'chaber o kadeh yayin v'kadeh shem, and if someone just sends his friend gifts not related to the chuppah, it could even be on the day of the chuppah, but simply jugs of wine and oil. In other words, it wasn't in the context of a shush vinit. It wasn't in that loan-style wedding gift. We say, in those situations, the person can't go to Beit Din and say, oh, look, I sent you jugs of wine, you should be sending it back to me. Why? Because they're interpreted simply as gifts and not as these shush vinot. Those are the Mishnah today.